excuse me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the Warren County Board of Supervisors meeting on October 11th, 2022. Is there any changes to the agenda?
I have none.
I have none. Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, County Auditor.
Good morning, we're moving along on the election. We're up to a little over 1,500 now on absentee ballot requests. And those ballots will be mailed out October the 19th, the same day that everybody can start voting in person here at the courthouse at our office, so.
How many did you say there were?
Actually, it's 1,543 requests is what we've received so far.
Is that large, is that about average?
Yeah, it's about average. So we'll, it'll probably start picking up here pretty soon, so additionally. And then once we start mailing those out, we have 24 hours to get ballots mailed out once we receive the request on the 19th, so. We're just, and let's see, the 24th? Yeah, the 24th is the last day to ask for an absentee ballot to be mailed. And the last day to register, pre-register for the election. So after that, if you come down and you haven't registered, you're gonna have to do an EDR either in our office or at your polling precinct. That's it.
Thank you. Colin Gersh, IT Department.
Just keeping busy like always. Rolling out some new equipment, the guys have been doing a lot of work on that. Last week I was up in Des Moines at one of my little ICIT events for a couple of days, and the OCIO was up there and they're talking about, you know, some of the security tools and stuff they're gonna help, or that they've been working to give out to the counties and that, especially regarding elections. I got to check out the state SOC up there, the Security Operations Center, and that was pretty neat. I got to see some of their tools and stuff in there, but that's about it.
Okay, thanks, Colin. Sheriff Glenn Dennis.
Good morning, things are going well, just busy as everybody else is. We have 109 is our total population. Those numbers are obviously, they're high, they've been high for the last couple of weeks. A breakdown of that is there's 11 that are waiting on placement in the halfway house. That's a pretty high number as we're waiting for that space. And that's, as we hold them and wait for that, that's something we don't get reimbursed on. Doesn't seem like a complete fair part of the process, but that is the process as it is. Two are waiting for placement in mental health. There's not an abundance of beds there or room for them to go either. And then one's just waiting for prison, so. There's a number that are in there that we're just waiting to get out of there. But also, there's been a lot of activity and we've been busy. And as you look at the list, there's really not people that are in there that shouldn't be there. So we've got a full jail and then some. Other than that, we're interviewing for an administrative assistant position this week. Did a couple interviews yesterday, did one this morning, and have one following this meeting, so.
How do they get placed at a halfway house? How's that?
Say that again?
The halfway house, how does that procedure work where they go from the jail house? Is that the state sends them?
Lisa probably has better insight on it, but as they get sentenced, when they get sentenced there and they're in our custody, we're gonna wait for the halfway house. Essentially, they just communicate by email and say, hey, we're gonna have room for this person on this date. And so they'll coordinate with Doug and Coulter at the jail, and they'll say that we're planning to come get them next week on the 13th. And they'll set out a date, and that's, we're basically at their mercy as the room opens up.
So they get sentenced to the halfway house?
Yes.
The halfway house has two groups of residents. One are people who've been sentenced and the residential facility is a condition of their probation. The other and probably bigger portion of the residents at the facility are those who have been granted work release by a parole. Unfortunately, because it is a state-run facility, bed space is always made available first to those who are being granted work release from parole before probationers. So that's why sometimes there can be a little bit of lag time for people sitting in our county jail because we're kind of second fiddle to the state.
They don't have.
How many of those 11 are from out of the county?
And.
How many of the 11 that are in our facility?
Yeah.
I mean, they're all local charges.
So when the court orders the residential facility as a condition of probation, they will say a facility to be determined by the 8th Judicial District. We have two. We have one in Ottumwa and one here in Burlington. It's an extremely rare occasion that we will send someone from our judicial district over to 8A. It happens from time to time. For instance, if we have co-defendants who maybe don't necessarily get along anymore, or if there are safety concerns, we may deliberately send someone out over to 8A, or sometimes even outside the judicial district. It doesn't happen very often. Generally, people from our judicial district go to the Burlington facility.
So two of those 11 are waiting on Ottumwa. And as Lisa said, the parole side of it, when they're released from prison, they get the first seats available. So they make room for
us. And we only have one for women. The only one for women is Ottumwa. So if we have a female who has been ordered to the residential facility, we wait on bed space for Ottumwa, which has a much longer wait time because there's only the one for both 8A and 8B.
And the two that I know, the two that are waiting there, specifically, there's mental health court in the Ottumwa halfway house. Yeah. And so there's some people that need that resource that we just don't have.
Okay. How many of the 109 are out of county, or do you know?
26.
26 out of county.
I think it's Kevin's way of saying the pandemic is over for law enforcement.
Well, there's a number of factors that add into it. One, there's just not enough space in the state facilities as people get sentenced.
Yeah.
The arrests have gone quite a bit up. Whether you attribute that to actual crime, the motivation of officers, that they've been quite motivated, and in all departments in Des Moines County, there have been a high number of arrests. So that proactiveness, productivity in the long term is something that should reduce crime. That's a positive thing, having active officers being out there. Hopefully this is a short term result of it, but it does seem to come in waves, and hopefully we can move that down and get back into more of a manageable level.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yep.
Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, moving on. Zach James, regional planning.
Not a lot new to report. I got a subdivision on the agenda today. Otherwise, it's kind of business as usual.
Okay, thanks, Chris Lee, conservation.
Hi, good morning. Had our big Halloween event this last weekend. Fantastic event, great weather. We're estimating we had about 800 people come through the park that night. Hundreds and hundreds of trick-or-treaters. Big thanks to the CERT team for helping with parking, to the sheriff's office for having a couple deputies out there, one of which was even handing out candy, which was kind of awesome, sitting there with the patrol car with the lights on and everything, so that was pretty cool. Kids love that. So yeah, event went off just fantastic. Had easily over 100 volunteers making that event possible, so really happy about that, and great event there. Couple events coming up. So on Thursday this week is our foundation's, the Partners for Conservation Foundation, is their fundraising event that they've been planning in conjunction with this 60 for 60 raffle that they're doing. So if you want your raffle tickets for these 60 prizes that they've got, get them now. That also is your ticket to the banquet there at Parkside on Thursday at 6 o'clock. And then on October 25th, we are having a public meeting at 6 o'clock down here at the Drake to discuss the possibility of maybe leasing out some of these FEMA buyout properties that we own up and down the Tanner Road corridor. We sent letters out to all of the property owners inside that corridor, and we've posted it publicly. This is just a public input meeting. We're not making any decisions yet. We're just trying to gauge if there's interest in folks leasing those out, how that might go, what the rules might be, working with trend on some of that, and then I've been in talks with people at FEMA and reading a whole bunch of federal code to make sure that's all on the up and up. I'm of the opinion that trend is due to mostly that this can be done, and I think it'd be a great opportunity for folks to, you know, get a piece of property down close to the river. And so We're not looking at creating a new park. It's going to be like an annual or even multi-year leases that we're looking at doing. And there will be restrictions. The county has to maintain ownership of it. So per the deed restrictions, all these properties have to forever be maintained and owned by a public entity. They can't ever be built on, like you can't build a cabin or anything on them. But by the way I read the code, there's no reason you can't park your camper on them or put your boat on it or anything like that. Use it as open space.
Plant some corn or beans.
You can plant plant some sweet corn down there or something like that, the vegetable garden, anything like that. Any of those open space type things, per the code, I think you can do on them. So be curious to see if there's interest in that. I've talked to several people that, they've hit us up over the years that, said, hey, I'd lease one of these out from you if you give it to us. And we just never had that infrastructure in place. So working on that, October 25th, if anybody's got some strong opinions one way or the other on that, come down to the Drake and tell us, or give us a call out to our office. And then based on that feedback at our November 2nd, I think, board meeting is when we'll discuss the actual logistics if we want to proceed down that path of doing the lease process. So that's what we're working on now.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Yep.
Ken Heinlein at Sale Region.
Good morning. Ryan called me and we have a meeting set up today at 1 o'clock with a candidate for House District 95, Taylor Collins. So young man. So he's gonna be at our conference room at 1 o'clock to talk with me and Ryan. I've never met him before, but we'll talk with him. And then at 2 o'clock today, we've got the Ursh open house, that was that RSVP only open house. They didn't really want to give the address out or anything, so you had to RSVP to be part of that tour, but I'm gonna go to that tour from 2 to 6 today. So, otherwise, we've got our regular meetings tomorrow for SEAL.
Thank you. County Attorney's Office. Lisa Ann.
Thanks for the deferral, Trent. First, we have several line items today regarding our indigent defense fees. We have several people at our Victims Justice Symposium in Des Moines yesterday and today. So hopefully they'll come back with some really great information. Next week will be the attempted murder trial for the West Burlington pool shooting that occurred this past summer. So we'll be busy with that. We are also co-sponsoring with the Burlington Police Department a domestic violence awareness vigil on October 20th at 6:30. We'll be sending personal invites out to the board. And this particular, for those of you who aren't aware, we used to do vigil. When we had our own domestic violence program here in Des Moines County, they sponsored a vigil every domestic violence awareness week. And with the passing of Shar Blodgett, we are doing this inaugural reboot in memoriam of Shar, who, for those of you who don't know, was the director of our domestic violence shelter for a good number of years, and was a tremendous advocate for victims of family and domestic violence. So we'll be doing that. And then four of us participated yesterday in Empower You with the Greater Burlington Partnership. That was a good time. I have to say, I was very impressed with Mr. Lee. When he gets going, and you can tell he is extremely passionate about conservation. And I was amazed. You are quite an eloquent speaker. When you get the chance, so it was fun.
Appreciate that.
A lot of pretty good kids with some really. Yes. They really like to badger Brian about electric vehicles.
Yeah.
So.
they asked some questions. I have to say, out of a group, I didn't know if they do anything, and they did ask some questions.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting questions that we wouldn't have thought they would have asked.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they were putting Brian on the spot with electric vehicles. So.
Thank you. Mr. Carter, Secretary of Roads.
Good morning. Lots of stuff moving along. I think probably the hot topic is, of course, we've now changed people's lives on Highway 99 yet again. We do have traffic lights set up. They will not be there for 3 months, but they are going to be there until they can get the new crossroad pipes installed. So this is the first time we've ever set something like this up as far as more of a complicated location. We have the north and south of the project, and you can't see from end to end because there is the curve and the bridge in the middle. And then, of course, there's White Camp Road right in the middle of it. And they have lights also. In general, things are working okay. I think there have been a couple glitches. I don't know if every so often the sensor just takes a couple minutes off or what. But we had one yesterday morning where we got a call and there were 15 people at White Camp that hadn't flipped the light for them. And a deputy came out, appreciate that, got them going. But by the time we got down to the site, the deputy told us, he's like, it's working fine now. It just was something then. And we have worked with the traffic control company to try to improve the signal timing, but in the end, there's still gonna be, if you hit it the wrong time, there's gonna be a wait. I mean, at the right time, you might get right through. If you've got farm equipment, we were just talking this morning, it's a good point. If you've got farm equipment, go look at it because it's probably not wide enough for you. It had to be tight to start with. Nobody enjoys crossing that bridge with any kind of farm equipment because you can't see anything coming anyway. It's tighter now. And it will be. They will remain in place. They are doing, we have two crossroad culverts to be installed, basically from across the what will be the new road area and then all the way underneath the existing road area. So they're doing out to about centerline. They'll get all that backfilled, put a patch in, and then they'll move over and then do the other half. So it's gonna take a little time. The alternative, which is more up my alley, is just closing the thing and let them do their work and get out of the way. I went this way. There are days I regret that. But we did this to try to keep traffic open. We have closed 99 a fair number of times, and we're going to close it for this project next year for an extended period of time. So we thought we'd try to let people get through on this one and make it work. So if you guys get calls, dispatch knows our number pretty quick. They've contacted us. There was an issue this morning. This was contractor driven for some reason. I don't know what they're thinking, but they blocked a lane in the middle of the light cycle. So by the time they got out of the way, both lights had turned. So we had green light traffic coming from both directions. Now, it's not high speed traffic, obviously. So it did work out, but I have, well, judging by a voicemail this morning, there was frustration, rightfully so. Who wouldn't be frustrated at that? Because it shouldn't have happened. So that has been relayed to the contractor, and I would like to think won't happen again. So maybe some growing pains, but that is probably the topic right now. And we'll get through it. I don't have a time frame. People keep asking, and it's just a matter of how quick they can get those culverts put in. There are some other things that have to happen, but those will probably happen about the same time. They're going to see guardrail going up. It's going to be a tight corridor during this project. I've said it from the beginning. We're moving the road over to keep the road open for now, but it's going to be tight through there anyway. So that's going on. Sometime if it works out, I'll try to get you guys up there so you've seen it. But if you get calls, that's what's going on. And certainly, those lights aren't perfect. I mean, there's a three-way controller, so if somebody has issues that they think are extreme or, you know, they sit there for 15 minutes, there should not be anybody sitting there for 15 minutes. So call our office, let us know so that we can get a message on, get the lighting contractor there and make sure that, or at least get down there and make sure it was a glitch and not something permanent. I'm pretty sure that people won't sit there very long without that phone call happening, but just, it doesn't hurt to pass it on so we're aware. That's probably the big topic down in that area. And that project's just getting fired up. Otherwise, 115th is done. Getting a little moisture hopefully today and tomorrow, so that'd be good. Hopefully get some grass growing down there. It looked pretty nice, so. I need to catch up with Shane sometime to show it to you. I tried calling you, Shane, but didn't get a hold of you there last week, so we'll catch up sometime. And plenty of other stuff going on, but that's what's going on for now.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, and we are, Kevin mentioned, he's advertising or interviewing for a job position. We do have an advertisement out for a motor grader position. So just as an FYI, I think that closes next week, I want to say. So if you're interested, that's out there. So just want to mention that.
Thank you.
Yep.
Rodney Bleedhart, maintenance.
Good morning, just keeping busy. A lot of things going on. We've got a couple gen items today.
Thank you. Christopher Pogemiller, Public Health.
Good morning. We are doing flu shots, so we have a couple of community clinics scheduled. One is going to be in Danville on October 12th at the community building from 1 to 2:30, and then we are doing another one in Minneapolis at City Hall on October 19th from 2:30 to 4 o'clock. People can also come to our office on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8:30 to 4 to get their flu shots, and they can make appointments by going to the Des Moines County website, where we welcome walk-ins as well. We're still waiting on the emergency use authorization for the bivalent booster for the COVID vaccines for the 5 to 11-year-olds. We don't have that yet, but we're anticipating that to come soon. And we met yesterday with the architects on the public health building, and we're making some progress. I think in the soon we'll have a diagram of what the layout of the building will look like. And thank you to Colin and his team for coming over and helping us out with some technical difficulties. So,
thank you. Okay. Natalie Steffen, Reporter's Office.
Good morning. Just business as usual. Nothing new to report.
Okay, thank you. Don't think I missed anybody, did I? No. Moving on, correspondence. I have none here, and I have none.
I have none.
I have none.
Okay. We shall move on to. I'm losing my voice.
We've got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven resolutions on there. If you're losing your voice, I guess, does anybody mind if we don't read these into the record? They've been published.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. If you want to sit and listen to them, I'll read them.
I thought I just explained.
Actually, these first four are basically
the same thing.
The same thing.
So we had an issue with an attorney a few months ago who had been appointed, I believe, on a juvenile guardianship to represent an indigent father. And he had basically billed the county for his usual rate, and which is, for those of you who don't know, private practice attorneys charge far more hourly than if you're working at the state public defender rate, from like $300 to $400 down to $68. And so we made him aware of the resolution that set those fees, but when we looked back at it, we realized it only applied to one provision of the code. And there are several different provisions of the code where the court either shall or may appoint guardian ad litems for children, attorneys for children, or attorneys for parents at county expense. So these four resolutions are primarily just to set the rate, which is now $68 per hour, which was set by the public defender's office as reasonable fees. So the first is pursuant to chapter 232, which is China provisions, when they appoint guardian ad litems for children. For 232D, which is juvenile guardianships. So that may be attorneys for the juvenile themselves, or for a parent who is not the petitioner for the guardianship, if the court deems them indigent. 598 is if there is a dissolution or child custody action and the court deems it appropriate to appoint a guardian ad litem or an attorney for the minor children involved and the parties themselves, the parents, are indigent. And finally, 633, which is, again, guardianships and conservatorships for minors, where the parties are indigent. All four of those code sections make it clear if the parties are indigent and cannot pay the legal fees for those attorneys who are appointed, that the county bears those costs. So this is just setting that rate all across the board for those to make sure we don't have a little snag. Because frankly, if the attorney had not just said, oh, okay, and resubmitted a bill, he probably would have won. To the tune of a $200 bill to, I believe it was like an $1,800 bill. So this just sets that across the board for attorneys that are appointed in these particular actions.
And those are billed through as attorneys or as court fees afterwards, right?
Not if the county ends up bearing the expense. The county will get the bill. It goes to the parents, but if the parents have already found indigent, then the attorney just sends the bill to the county.
Thanks, Lisa. What? Since we've got four different resolutions, we should probably have, what do you think, a motion and a second on each resolution?
Good.
Yes, that probably makes sense.
That'll be legal then, yes.
There's no question.
And I would waive the reading of all those. You've got seven of them. Some of them are longer than that.
You can just state the resolution and what Iowa code section it applies to.
I'd make a motion to approve resolution 2022-063. Pursuant to Iowa Code Chapter 232.
Second.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Motion to approve Resolution 2022-064. Pursuant to Iowa Code Chapter 232D.
Second.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. You want these stamped too, the side sign?
Yes.
Okay. I need a motion. For resolution 2022-065.
If we pass the last one.
Chapter 598.
64, yes.
Okay. Resolution 2022-065, pursuant to Iowa Code Chapter 598.
Second.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Motion to approve 2022-066, pursuant to Iowa Code Chapter 633.
Second.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Lisa, thank you for explaining this. Making it easy for everybody. Appreciate that. Okay, now I have a Class C liquor license for bar candy. 10-15 wedding and Myers wedding barn. Bar candy.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Different meanings to different people, Jim.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
That's an interesting corporate name.
I thought so. I have a Class C liquor license for camp wedding, 1122, Born on the Ridge.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Okay, now we have a resolution 2022-067, approval of the final plat for the Clay Hill subdivision. Zach, that would be you.
Yeah, we've got a request for final plat approval for Clay Hill subdivision. This is in Danville Township. Southwest part of the county. It includes a one lot of 32.63 acres. Contains an existing mobile home near the northwest corner. All the remainder of the property is farmland by the Skunk River. Basically, they're looking to subdivide an existing 108-acre property so they can sell it separately in two different tracts. It's actually going to be up for auction here soon. So there'll be a 76-acre piece on the north side of the road there, and then this 32.6 acre on the other side of the road. After going through review, no major comments on anything, so we would request approval of the plat with the one condition related to CRP. Basically just said the portion of Lot A is currently enrolled in the CRP through USDA. If the ground and area disturbed prior to expiration of the CRP easement, Des Moines County shall not be held responsible for any penalties associated with violating an agreement. So.
Motion to approve with modification.
Second.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We'll sign these after meeting 45. Okay.
Great.
Now we have a resolution 2022-068. For ordering construction for the Des Moines County Correctional Facility re-roof project, fixing a date for the public hearing and taking bids. Whereas the Board of Supervisors has caused to be prepared plans, specifications, and form contract together with estimate of cost, which are now on file in the office of Klinger and Associate, and whereas the public hearing will be held on Tuesday, November the 8th, 2022 at 9 a.m. in the boardroom at the Des Moines County Courthouse. Whereas the plan specification forms of contract and deedable suitable for making the public improvements. Whereas for before the plan specification form the contract and estimate cost may be adopted and a contract for the construction of the public improvements be entered into, it is necessary pursuant to Chapter 26 Code of Iowa to hold a public hearing and to advertise for bids. But be it further resolved that the county auditor is hereby directed to publish notice of public hearing in Des Moines County. Publication shall not be less than 4 days nor more than 20 days prior to the date herein fixed, and the date for the public hearing on the plan specification forms and contracts and estimate cost for the project. The hearing to be at 9 a.m. on November the 8th, 2022. Be it resolved that the resolution shall take effect immediately after it is approved on this day of October 2022.
Motion to approve the resolution.
Second.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We have another resolution, and it's 4. Finished the Des Moines County Correctional Facility. That's the same resolution. Outside of this one here is going to fix the outside of the building, right, Rodney?
Exterior finish, yep, correct.
Does anybody have any objections if I don't read this?
Motion to approve the resolution.
Second.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Thanks for all the work you've done on that too, Rodney, getting that.
Gotta thank Terry. She helped out a lot. Terry and Trent, thank you. Yeah, thank Terry and Trent for helping with those guys, so thank you.
Okay, we have personnel action. We have one for the recorder's office. Renee Wellborn. It's an anniversary, 18th month anniversary. Previous rate was $33,670.61. The new rate will be $34,856.11.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Next one is secondary roads. It's a resignation effective 10/11/22 at 3:30 p.m. It is Mr. Thomas Walsenauer. Is that the way you pronounce that?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
We'll work on filling that one after we're done with the current motor grader.
Okay, I have a report on file here. Recorder's report for fees collected September of 2022. These will be in the auditor's office for your reading at your own convenience. I do have the minutes for the regular meeting on October the 4th, 2022.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Okay. Do we have any other business?
I have none.
Do you have any, Shane?
No, sir.
Future agenda items.
We've got several work sessions coming up. Wonder if they get those sorted out. Yeah. But I don't think anything else.
Committee reports.
I attended a county safety committee meeting, and we talked about the importance of timely reporting of accidents or incidents, and I think they're going to change the county safety committee meetings. Instead of having them in this room, we'll have them each time. We'll have them in a different county facility, in a different office, or we probably meet a couple times in Brian's office.
If there's more than five of you, there's a place to put you in my office.
There's more than two of you, we're going to have troubles in mind.
Anyway, we thought it might be nice for us just to take a tour of the facilities in Des Moines County and different offices, and so get a look, because every place has different hazards. And
I don't know if the jail's going to have much room. They're pretty booked out there.
Make room.
I'm sure they will.
Speaking of that, you
can look at the I attended the meeting with the architect yesterday for the public health building, and we pretty much got a layout set, and so I believe, like Krista said, then the next step is they'll come back with a schematic design, I believe they call it, so I'm not sure how long that'll be. I suspect it won't be too long. That's all I have.
I'm waiting to come back with a dollar sign on that.
Well, once they get a schematic design, then they can give it to the construction manager.
Yep.
They will take it off an estimate and come back to us with an estimate of what they think the construction costs will be. So we're on the way.
On the way,
getting closer.
I had an easy week. I did not have anything. How about you, Shane? Did you have any meetings?
Yeah, I had a landfill meeting, and we were looking at either some special equipment, which we're not really looking at that, but we're probably going to be entertaining a special fee for telephone poles and railroad ties. It's an issue, but that was about it. Okay,
thank you. Okay, public input. Anybody from the public? Have anything to say, we'll give you 2 minutes, and you can email board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com, Or you can call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you 2 minutes to do that. Anybody here have anything to say?
Jim, what would you say on those jail projects, if anybody's interested in that, those will be posted on Cleaner's Clean Room, statewide clean room, also on the Master Builders of Iowa. And then we'll get a link put up on the county website if there's anybody interested in those projects. There'll be a pre-bid meeting Tuesday, October 18th at 2. So we're just going to keep moving forward with that. But if you're interested, we'll get those, get a link posted on the county website, and then they can also visit those other websites. Planners, plan room, if they're interested in those projects.
Okay, thanks, Roger. Appreciate that.
Never want to miss a pre-bid meeting. Sometimes some really interesting information comes out in those that you should know before you bid something. Speaking to someone that's learned both ways.
And I did forget to mention, ArcaSearch has arrived and they're starting to scan our books.
Okay.
Start to digitize them, so.
How long will they be here, do you have an idea?
Probably 4 weeks.
Will they?
3 to 4 weeks.
They aren't eating all the candy, are they?
They just come in after the books and they leave.
Just check them for Brian.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Thanks.
You're welcome.
This is always the longest 2 minutes, you know it. Okay, the 2 minutes are up. With an aye, we're out of here.
Aye.
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 Thank you, everybody, for attending the meeting today.
Take care of yourself, Shane.
Yeah.